الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you, and in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the contents of Surah Al-Ankabut, or Chapter Spider, the 29th chapter of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, we have reached the 33rd verse of Surah Al-Ankabut. So, let's listen to the verse, and we will be back with our discussion.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ولما أن جاءت رسلنا لوطا سيئ بهم وضاق بهم ذرعا وقالوا لا تخف ولا تحزن إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ
And when our messengers came to Lot, he was distressed for them and felt for them great discomfort. They said, Fear not, nor grieve. Indeed, we will save you and your family, except your wife. She is to be of those who remain behind.
So, up to now, as you were with us throughout the previous verses, we explained the story of Prophet Lut, how he was worried about his people and their indecency and their lewdness. He tried to invite them to monotheism and he tried to actually make them leave this kind of indecency, but they didn't. The Almighty Allah actually sent his messenger angels to Prophet Abraham. They brought him glad tidings first, but then they said that إِنَّا مُهْلِكُ أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ We are to destroy these people, the people of this town. So, when these angels went to Prophet Lut to introduce themselves, to tell him what is going to happen to his people, he was worried. Why? Because he was even worried about the fact that those people of his are going to even attack these actually guests, even though they did not know them. And that's how the situation actually was. Because the location of the people of Lut was actually in between the different paths that some caravans were passing by. So they had to stay there. But after some times, those caravans understood what is going on, they tried to step away from them. They tried to find alternative paths and ways to reach their destinations. But anyway, Lut's anxiety, as the verse says, "See abihim wallaq abihim dhara," he grieved on their account, he distressed for them, was not for the fact that he did not know them. No, that was not the point. He, because in their, they were in the form of some handsome youths, the arrival of such guests would actually mean that there will be some trouble for them. And they will be probably disrespected if the people of Lut were to understand. And in some narrations we have heard that it was the wife of this prophet who informed the people of the town that there were some new guests in the house of their prophet. So that's why we should not actually be astonished when the verse says, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا مْرَأَتَكَ We will surely deliver your family and we will surely deliver you, of course, مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا مْرَأَتَكَ Except your wife, كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ She shall be of those who stay behind. So, of course, that's how the situation was. So, the messengers of Almighty Allah introduced themselves to Lut, and by means of divine miracle, they made the eyes of those attacking people blind, and they caused the heart of this great prophet to rest.
وَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ
So that's how the situation was. The people tried to attack and disgrace actually these new guests, but that's how the power of the Almighty Allah becomes effective. It is notable that the messenger angels of Allah told Lut ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam that he should not fear and grieve. La takhaf wa la tahzan. That's what they told him. Concerning the difference between la takhaf wa la tahzan, it is cited in the Al-Mizan, the commentary, that khawf is used about the inconvenient probable events, but huzn is about some decisive and certain instances. So, some commentators believe that the Quranic word khawf relates to the future events, and the term actually huzn and gham relates to the past events. It is, of course, probable that khawf is used in relation to dangerous instances, but huzn and gham is related to painful events. So anyway, there is a question here that according to the verses of Surah Hud, the fear and grief of Lut were not about himself, but he feared that those evil people might make trouble for his guests. While the answer the angels gave him was about the deliverance of Lut and his family, and these two are not consistent with each other. But the answer to this question can be understood from Surah Hud, because when these shameful people came to bother the guests, the angels told Lut, "La takhaf wa la tahzan, inna munajjuka wa ahlaka." Do not fear, do not grieve, verily we shall deliver you and your family. So that is, they not only cannot bother us, that's what they meant, but also are not going to be able to hurt you. Therefore, the angels took their deliverance certain, and verily it was certain, and they concentrated the glad tidings on the deliverance of Lut and his family. So that's how the situation turned out, and we will continue the rest of the verses and their discussion in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Iran Radio from the heart of Tehran. We're grateful you stay tuned with us throughout the day. First, another compelling segment from our radio productions. We've put together a variety of engaging pieces for your listening enjoyment. Then, for a segment featuring profound scholarship, we bring you Ulema's speech. In this program, we broadcast excerpts from the Farsi and Arabic voices of well-known and reputable Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities with English translation, a unique opportunity to learn from the masters. To cap off this hour, it's time for Minbar. In this program, we present selected excerpts from the speeches of renowned Islamic scholars, covering a wide range of topics including ethics, theology, Quranic interpretation, Islamic history, and at times social and political issues. Such powerful messages from the scholars. Next up, it's time for another segment of Radio Productions. Stay with us.
Jamadi Athani III. To the strongest and most probable beliefs, it is the day when the whole heavens cried for the martyrdom of Lady Fatima Zahra, the princess of all women of the world. Affliction and agony will invade hearts of all Muslims every year on the martyrdom anniversary of Fatima, a candle in the wind. والحزين ما لحظه ابتعد ما يقدر يجافيني صح بفرحتيج ابتسم والفرح ما ينسيني يا مولاتي يا مولاتي مولاتي يا زهرة
يا مولاتي يا مولاتي يا مولاتي يا زهرة يا مظلومة يا مظلومة يا مظلومة يا زهرة.
Lady Fatima was a daughter of Muhammad and Khadija, wife of Ali and mother of Hassan and Hussein, and one of the five members of Ahlul Bayt. She became the object of great veneration by all Muslims because she lived closest to her father and supported him in his difficulties, and because of historical importance of her husband and her two sons, and that she is the only member of Muhammad's family that gave him descendants numerously spread through the Islamic world. Muslims regard Fatima as a loving and devoted daughter, mother, wife, a sincere Muslim, and an exemplar for women. It is believed that she was very close to her father, and her distinction from other women is mentioned in many hadith. Fatima Zahra most of all resembled her father in her looks, character, behavior, and conduct. She's the princess of all women of the world. Various aspects of Lady Fatima's life in the words of Tahsin Fatima Razavi.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, we're going to carry on with analyzing the life of our great lady of Islam, Hazrat Fatima Zahra. And we have seen so far the role played in her short-lived life that had, at this moment and at the present time and throughout history, had mellowed the dominant roles of people and groups like the feminist, and have taught us that by mellowing down our role and concentrating on each individual parts of our, so as to say, multidimensional role which each woman and man has to play, we have learned that there are better and supreme goals that one has to attain, and we must aim for those goals. Now to carry on and look at the life and how Hazrat Fatima Zahra showed us these and taught us these lessons are an example from her life and her, for instance, multiple skills that she had of eloquence and her political and social expertise and the powerful insight she showed at various stages. For instance, there was a time when a woman had come to Hazrat Fatima Zahra and had said that I have a weak mother who has many questions with regards to worship. And the woman carried on asking the questions. But the questions came one after another and she carried on to the extent that she had to come another day. And the next day she apologized to Hazrat Fatima and said, maybe I have taken too much of your time. Maybe I have tired you. But Hazrat Fatima Zahra in return said, no, ask anything. Because it's like a man who has to transport, for instance, a load to the top of a mountain for 1,000 dinars. What do you think? Would it bother him? Because at the end he's going to get so much money. The woman replied, no. So Hazrat Fatima Zahra said, my reward for every question that you ask is similar to imagining the whole of the space of the earth from the ground to the divine throne full of pearls. Now, with this, we see what Hazrat Fatima Zahra is trying to say. We see that if a woman concentrates on knowledge, acquiring knowledge, and then passing on that knowledge to help others to solve their problems, this is the reward we gain by helping them. There are events in the following manner about Hazrat Fatima Zahra and her bravery. She was apparently present with the Holy Prophet and at times with Imam Ali in roughly around 30 wars and battles that took place at that time. Fatima Zahra also shows her bravery when she goes into public and society and demands for her rights, for her usurped rights, namely the Garden of Fadak back, when Imam Ali, her husband, was dragged to the mosque to pay allegiance to the ruler that he did not want to. She faced the time when her house was set on fire. She faced the time when, during the attack at her house, she was wounded and she was beaten. And due to that, she had miscarried her child, Mohsin. In fact, it is Fatima who has trodden this path of perfection, as we have seen from her life. And because of this, she is a guide for other women to follow. This all shows the importance of the role of Hazrat Fatima Zahra. Hazrat Fatima Zahra, by her very small life and every act, every behavior, every step that she had taken and every word that she had uttered had become an example and a lesson for us that at a time of such corruption, at a harsh times, at times of sorrow, she was still as strong as anything and stood against all this because she believed in the message sent to the Holy Prophet, which was displayed in practice by her husband Imam Ali. It was the divine message, so she believed in Allah and she followed on the course of the path of the divine message and thus practiced it in her life.
زهرة عشت بحيرة مو هم أصحاب النبي ما أظن عيدهم غيره يا مولاي.
As a daughter, Fatima Zahra loved her parents so much that she won their love and regard. The behavior of Prophet Muhammad towards his daughter Fatima Zahra was special. Prophet Muhammad showed unique respect to his dear daughter. Whenever Fatima Zahra came to see him, he welcomed her, stood up to show respect, and even kissed her hand and made her sit at his own place. The love between the father and daughter was not a one-way process. Instead, Fatima too immensely loved her father like he loved her. When Hazrat Khadija passed away, she was not more than 6 years of age. After the death of her mother, she always looked after the comfort of her father at home. Fatima was such a daughter who constantly and stably followed the footsteps of her father. Fatima Zahra was virtue personified. In fact, she's considered the greatest lady that ever graced planet Earth. Whatever Prophet Muhammad said about her was to make people aware of her position and status that would serve as an example for women of all time. Sheikh Usama Al-Attar elaborates on the life and times of Lady Fatima Zahra.
One of the attributes of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is fasaha, eloquence. Today we will take a look at one of these examples of eloquence in the sermon of Fatima Zahra salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha. I would like to mention three important points in her sermon, among many other things, of course. She says, "Oh people, be aware, I am Fatima and my father is Muhammad. This is who we are. And if you reflect upon him, you will find that he is my father among all of your women. He's only my father. And he is only cousin of my husband among all your men." Fatima Zahra is trying to remind people, he is the brother of my cousin, referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib, among all your men. In other words, don't you think that Ali ibn Abi Talib and I are equivalent to you people? No. And what else? What else does she say? She strengthens her points. She also mentioned to the people, she said, "People, didn't my father Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, يُحْفَظُ الْمَرْءُ فِي وُلْدِهِ? When you honor a person, you honor him through his children. After he dies, how you honor a person who's dead? Through his children, taking care of the children. When you take care of the children, then you've honored this man who has passed away. You don't come to the house of the man who has passed away and you threaten to burn it down. This is not how you honor him. You don't come and attack the house. This is not how you honor him." Read Ibn Qutayba in Imama and Siyasa. He said 9 men, including the second man, they came and they threatened to burn the house of Fatima. They told the second man, "Fatima is in the house." Qala wa'in. So what? Allahu Akbar. Is this how you honor Rasulullah? Is this how you pay respect to this man who saved you from the hellfire? So, she says, "Didn't my father say that you honor a person by taking care of his children?" She's reviving the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith of Rasulullah. She's fighting against that policy of the state. Then she starts going into the meaning of the Quran. They decided to put aside the meaning of the Quran. She fought against that. How? When she discussed about her right in the land of Fadak and inheriting the land of Fadak. Is it fair that you inherit your father? She's talking to the first Khalifa. You can inherit your father, but I cannot inherit my father? What have you done? You have neglected the Quran and put it behind your backs? This is what she's talking about now. She's fighting against this second policy of the state. So she's now interpreting the Quran. She's quoting these verses to tell people, you cannot leave the Quran and their interpretation of the Quran. So then she turns to the first Khalifa and to the Muslims. And she tells them, "So do you claim that you are more aware and understanding of the Quran than my father and my cousin? Again, she is fighting that ideology to put down Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So you see, she's elevating Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. One time when she said that he is the only brother of the Prophet among all your men. He is the only one with Rasulullah who understands the Quran and the meaning of the Quran. Fatima al-Zahra is fighting against this ideology. She's saying that, one, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam are extremely important. She mentions them in her sermon. Then she mentions the interpretation of the Quran, specifically with regards to these verses that talk about earth and inheritance. She also interprets other verses in the Quran. So, she's interpreting the Quran, and then she's elevating the status of Ahlul Bayt such that people realize that these are the three ideologies that are being introduced by the state, and she's fighting against them. And that's what she's saying. So you see, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, among many other things, of course, addressed in the khutbah, where she calls upon the people, especially the Ansar, the people of Medina. She said, you were the ones who helped my father. Why are you turning your backs against me today? Why are you turning your backs to me today? Where are you? She made everybody cry in the majlis. But unfortunately, she wanted to deliver the proof, the hujjah, so that people wouldn't say we didn't know. But people deliberately decide to ignore. She used to go to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, take with her Hassan and Hussein, sit at the grave. She would pick up some of the sand of that grave and smell it and shed her tears. She would say, tell the Prophet, tell the one who has been now buried in the sands, if you can hear me and hear my cries, so many tragedies have been inflicted upon me, such that if these tragedies would have been inflicted upon the day, it would have turned into night. It would not have bared these tragedies, these issues, these complications. And all this stayed with her. She lived only the maximum 6 months after the departure of Rasulullah. At the age of 18 years old, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves this dunya and departs to join her father Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A small procession of devoted ones, sobbing with grief, with their faces covered, is quietly moving towards an unknown location to bury someone special, someone they loved. It was a dark night of the 3rd of Jamadia Thani of the year 11th Hijra in the city of Medina, the city of Prophet Muhammad, just few days after passing away of Prophet Muhammad. They were kids with their father and his close friends walking quietly with patience and happy with their Lord over what they went through during last few days. But they were sobbing, suppressing their voices, tears were flowing but without a sound, concealing their grief so that no one can hear them in the dark, quiet night. They wanted no one in Medina to know about what they were going through. When eyes were asleep and voices were silent, a heavenly procession left Imam Ali's house while carrying the messenger of Allah's daughter, Fatima Zahra, to her final abode. Yes, Fatima's children were walking in the quiet funeral procession of their beloved mother. But where are the thousands who inhabited Medina? What has happened? Why nobody? Why funeral and burial in dark night? Yes, Fatima Zahra had requested Imam Ali that they are not allowed at her funeral. She wished to be buried in the dark night quietly and her grave be hidden from everyone. There was a dead silence, so long with no word. Dead silence, just tears, just sob, just grief. But wait, a sobbing sigh was heard. Somebody was weeping. Yes, it was Imam Ali, the hero of Badr, Uhud, Khaybar, Khandaq, and several other battles. Back in home again, the kids were sad, lonely. Their mother was not with them. Imam Ali was taking care of them. He was consoling them. But it was not an easy task. He would calm the kids and then himself move away to a corner of house so that they don't see him and then cry out himself. This was a narration of the sad and quiet funeral of Fatima Zahra, Salamullah alayha, the leader of all women of the world, the lady who was heavenly, who held pivotal position in the household of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
From her the offsprings came, from her the divine knowledge carried on, from her the divine message never stopped.
But if I don't respond, be aware that I have joined my father Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. She goes, she faces Qibla, and she rests.
We express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, a candle in the wind.
Hail, You're maker of my breath, but never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice. You may cut off my breath, but never my faith, no, never my faith, it's my voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice. My voice. You may chain both my hands, but never my soul, no, never my soul, it's my voice.
Film Fair as Ulum Sharifiyya Islamis.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
شیطان یه روز وقتی مسئله توبه مطرح شد خیلی ناراحت شد.
One day when the issue of repentance was raised, Satan became very upset. He summoned his companions and said, "Amazing! We deceive so many people, but God has opened the path of repentance. People repent. Find a solution." Everyone gave an opinion. One of the devils said to his chief,
I have a plan. I will make a person say, you are young now. Go live your life. When we get old, we will sit and repent. That is, I will make them postpone repentance. Satan said, this is a good plan. He said, I will make them forget about repentance or Tawbah. I will let them. It's too early now.
اگر خدا رب و ناسه، پس چرا ما از روانشناسان تربیتی میخوایم تربیت بگیریم؟
If God is the Lord of mankind, then why do we seek education from educational psychologists for schools? Don't we say the Quran points to the Lord of mankind? If God is the Lord of mankind, we should take the education of our children from God. What do we have to do with Eastern or Western psychology? If He is the sovereign of mankind, why do we accept Eastern and Western governments? If He is the God of mankind, that is the deity of people, why do we worship wealth and power? That itself is another issue. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening through the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
All the Muslims agree that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam passed away, he was survived by his daughter, the only daughter, Fatima Zahra salawatullah alayha. So we see first the issue of Fadak comes in. This was a property which the Prophet gifted during his lifetime to his daughter. And so when he passed away, Fadak was not the property of Rasulullah. It was already in the possession of Fatima al-Zahra during the time of the Prophet. And so that was also forcefully taken away from her. And this is something we have to realize. There is no dispute on this issue. Even people like Ibn Hajar al-Makki, a very prominent anti-Shia writer, the terms that they use is that the first Khalifa took over Fadak from Fatima salawatullah alayha. And this term of taking over means it was already in the possession of the Bibi. And this is where, you know, this whole issue where she tried to claim that, but when they rejected that, and this is where in the famous khutbah that she has, she basically then asked that on the basis of the laws of inheritance. And that was rejected based on a concocted hadith, apparently, you know, attributing to the Prophet that he said that when the Prophets, you know, whatever they leave behind, it is not to be inherited by their families. Rather, it becomes public property. You know, it's the property of the state. And this is where if you look at the famous khutbah of the Lady of Light, you will see in response to that, you know, she brings the ayat of Quran to prove that this statement cannot be the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we know that there is a very clear principle that if there is a hadith which cannot be reconciled with the Quran, and if there is total, you know, on opposite sides, then that has to be rejected, and Quran will prevail in that way. And so the part of the khutbah, and this is a very, you know, a small part of it, where she says, وَأَنْتُمَ الْآنَ تَذَعَمُونَ أَنَّ لَا إِرْثَ لَنَا. Now you are saying that I don't have any inheritance. أَفَحُكْمُ حُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ تَبْغُونَ. This is an ayat of Quran. Do you seek the laws of the Jahiliyyah? Very strong statement that what you are doing actually going back to the, you know, Jahiliyyah norms. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. You know, who is a better judge than Allah for the people who believe? أَفَلَا تَعْلَمُونَ. بلى قد تجلى لكم كالشمس الضاحية إني ابنته أيها المسلمون أغلب على إرفي. You know, she says very clearly, don't you realize it is very clear for you like the bright daylight that I am the Prophet's daughter, no one else. O Muslims, will I be deprived of my inheritance? يبنى بقافة أفي كتاب الله ترث أباك ولا أرث أبي. Does it say in the book of Allah, O Abu, son of Abu Qahafa, referring to the first Khalifa? Does it say in Allah's book that you will inherit your father and I cannot inherit my father? And this is where she says, لقد جئت شيئا فريا أفعل عمد تركتم كتاب الله ونبثوه وراء ظهوركم. You know, you have indeed done a devious deed. Have you forsaken Allah's book knowingly and have thrown it behind your backs? And then responding to this, you know, so-called hadith that her father said that the Anbiya, when they pass away, you know, the families do not inherit. Now she brings the Quran against that. And see, she starts reading the ayat one after another. إِذْ يَقُولُ. Have you forgotten? Do not you remember? وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانَ دَاوُودَ. That Suleiman inherited Dawood. This is, you know, one generation, you know, inheriting the other. وَقَالَ فِي مَقْتَسَ مِنْ خَبَرْ يَحْيَ بِنْ ذَكَرِيَّ إِسْقَالَ. And then she says, remember the story of Yahya son of Zakaria, when he prayed, and what was the prayer in the Quran? Wahabli min ladunka waliyan, that Allah grant me from thee an heir. Yarithuni wa yarithu min ali Yaqub, who will inherit me and inherit from the family of Yaqub. The issue of inheritance is being brought here very clearly. And then another ayah she recites, وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, that verily those who are related by blood are worthier in the book of Allah as far as the issue of inheritance is concerned. Going on, she goes to another ayat of Quran. يُصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلَ حَظِّ الْعُنْسَيَيْنِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the matters of your children's inheritance, He enjoins you that the male child shall have the equal of the share of two females. And I am the only surviving child. And then she goes on, another ayat. إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين, that it is good to leave a will for the parents and the near relatives with kindness. This is the duty of the pious ones. So you have all these different ayat of Quran that she is talking about, especially the ayat from the Anbiya, inheriting one another, and the general rule of inheritance. And this is where, we should always realize that when we talk about the Quran, we consider Quran to be the base of everything. And this is a very interesting, scenario, because just few days before that, during the last days of the Prophet, Umar, part of the same group, had said to the Prophet, when he was talking about living a written will, a will he definitely left, but verbal, which was common those days. Now he wanted to put that in writing. That was prevented by Umar. And what does he say? حَسْبُنَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, we don't want your words. For us, the Quran is sufficient. And this is where Bibi Fatima Zahra brings the issue, basically the mirror to their face. You said, حَسْبُنَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, this is كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. These are the ayat of Quran. And this is where we are to realize that when you follow the Ahlul Bayt, you're actually following the Quran. And that is why the Prophet said, إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ أَسَقَلَيْنِ, I'm leaving two things behind, the Book of Allah and my family, the Ahlul Bayt.
اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها وبعلها وبنيها وسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك يا فاطمة يا
It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd. Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before.
clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper.